Welcome to Notes from the North with Kyle and Sam.
Well, welcome back to Notes from the North. Kyle and Sam here, and coming at you Monday morning. Feels like it's a little bit of talking about football before the big news comes in. But maybe Kyle, just start us off here, just briefly. What are we looking at here? Again, we got Monday morning today. This afternoon is really when we start to hit some deadlines.
Yeah, exactly. So right now we're about 2 hours and 20 minutes or so from like this precise moment, about 2 hours and 20 minutes from when the NFL can start legally tampering. There might be illegal tampering going on, whether at the combine or the other combine, but the legal tampering can begin in a little more than 2 hours, which is to say that someone like, say, Kirk Cousins or Danielle Hunter could then start talking to teams and, coming to verbal agreements. Now, the PSA is just simply that these are verbal agreements, not written agreements. You can only actually put something in writing as of Wednesday, March 13th, 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, right? So there's still about 56 hours away. You know, by the time legal tampering begins, it'll be, 54 hours. And then it'll be 52 hours from the time that legal tampering begins, right? So you still have a little more than 2 days before you can actually officially get that deal across the finish line. Right now, it looks like Cousins is going to hit free agency or at least get into that legal tampering period, and which is kind of how things have looked for a long time now. We've been talking about this for a long time for PTSD, Vikings territory. You know, Kevin O'Connell basically said this at the combine that Cousins has earned the right to test free agency. Hope that we're still in that process. So really, this has kind of been in the works for a long time. Things are basically going as expected. The major news there, Sam, as we were just kind of discussing before hopping on, is simply that Baker Mayfield back with the Bucs, Tampa Bay, 3 years, $100 million or something to that effect. I have to look at the precise details. And then Russell Wilson signing that modest deal with Pittsburgh because he's still getting that Denver money. And so, end result being, one, that Minnesota has less options in terms of, you know, viable veterans. And two, there's, you know, two teams that maybe perhaps possibly could have interested in a Cousins, you know, signing. Pittsburgh, I thought, made a lot of sense. Mike Tomlin, before he was Pittsburgh's head coach, he was a defensive coordinator for the Vikings, right? Like way back when he was a Vikings coach, right? And he's an excellent coach. And it just would not shock me if Cousins would have welcomed playing for a Mike Tomlin and playing for a strong Steelers team. In the end, that's actually not going to happen because now they have Russell Wilson to partner with their young guy. So you kind of just think like the NFL, how many teams now are there for Cousins? Falcons seem to be the favorites right now. The Vikings obviously are still in it. And I would just be curious to like right now, literally right now, as we talk in Eagan at TCO Performance Center, what are the conversations like with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah? Who's he talking to? Right. What kind of work is Rob Brzezinski doing? The cap wizard, you know what I mean? So, you know, you just kind of think these kind of powerful people, Kevin O'Connell, right? Is he talking to some of these players talking about, you know, the vision we have for you in our team and where we want to go with you? You know what I mean? Danielle Hunter, this is how we, you know, view your 1, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is. I would think that right now things are busy in Eagan, but we'll see if anything kind of, because the whole thing is like these internal guys like Hunter, Cousins, they're already team employees, and you can negotiate with your own employees prior to any of these NFL dates, right? So like in theory, there could be a Cousins resolution in 5 months. Right. No need for the legal tampering. No need for any of that stuff. You already have him under contract. It's all good. Right. Same thing with Hunter. And so it'd just be kind of curious to see. It'd be fun to be a fly on the wall and kind of see what's going on behind closed doors. Kwesi runs a pretty tight ship. He keeps his cards pretty close to his chest. Not too many leaks. And so it'd just be kind of curious to see what things are or kind of what's going on right now. But one way or the other, there's going to be some pretty significant Minnesota news coming up within literally just a couple hours. So that's kind of exciting.
Right. And I guess like in some ways it feels like while this podcast may become outdated very quickly, in some ways we're not really giving any predictions, but like you mentioned, Cousins feels like the big name that's league-wide people are talking about it, and rightfully so. But you also mentioned Hunter, right? Like the Vikings have two very important players that are sitting here now, and like you said, within hours, days for sure, you could have two guys either back or one guy back and one guy gone or both gone. It is an interesting time. So just again, I think that both you and I would say that we don't get caught up too much in speculation until something happens. Not really worth getting too, like, again, not that worrying does anything anyways. But what are you looking for from the Vikings right now, especially in the next little while? Because there is this understanding that you got your own guys, and you, I think the preference is at a reasonable number, at the number that they have, you want both these guys back. But if not, you got to do something. So yeah, what are you watching for in terms of the Vikings? Again, you got the guys that you know about, but then there's also these other guys that they got to do their due diligence league wide.
So Aaron Wilson, I think, he's kind of he's a league insider, gets a lot of scoops, and I think he connected the Vikings to Christian Wilkins, which makes sense. D tackle coming over from Miami, he was a first round pick back when Flores was in charge, and he's number one right now in the Football PTSD free agency board, which makes sense. Like he's in a tremendous defensive tackle. He can rush the passer, would just be an excellent fit in Minnesota from what we can see, right? And really kind of come into his own in the past couple of years. And being 28 as a D tackle is different than being 28 as a runner, right? Like defensive tackles have a bit of a longer shelf life, I think, than running backs. I think that's kind of the standard wisdom. So you kind of wonder about, can they land one of the major names in free agency with some of this business still outstanding? Or do they have to get this stuff in order first? I'm of the opinion that they can get this stuff done. They could do, a major deal or two and still circle back around to a Cousins. It just would not shock me. Like, basically anything could happen with Cousins. It wouldn't shock me, though, if we don't get any Cousins resolution today. Because what as the best I can gauge things, Cousins is going to go into the legal tampering period, see what's out there, and then go back to the Vikings and kind of see, can you bridge the gap, right? Here's where you were. Here's your starting point. Here's what the league will give me, a specific team, obviously not the league itself, but here's what I say a Falcons would give me. Can you get that close enough? That's just exactly what he did in 2018 with the Jets, right? Went to the Jets gave him an offer. Went back to the Vikings. Vikings, can you bump up your offer? They did. There you go. Right. And he left money on the table. The Jets were going to give him more, but he wanted to be in Minnesota, right? And wanted to play for the Vikings. Right. So you just kind of wonder, is that same process going to take place where he goes into the league, sees what the league has to offer, goes back to Minnesota, says, hey man, here's where I'm at. Can you kind of meet me in the middle? Right. And I don't think the GM begrudges that. I don't think Adolfo Mensa begrudges that at all. I think he has kind of consistently been greedy for information, for extra data points to kind of help this decision making, what's necessary. I think this perfectly fits with how Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah wants to do business. He wants more info, kind of wants to have kind of a clear-eyed, kind of like 100% kind of perspective on things, and then make the best decision possible. Right? This kind of squares, I think, with both them. They're both very process-oriented, both Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah and Kirk Cousins. So I just don't know if nothing would shock me, but I just would not be surprised at all if there's no resolution today on Cousins. And then I also still, though, expect the Vikings to be active today, both in terms of bringing back some of their own on some like lower level deals. Like I think like Blake Brendell, Brandon Powell, maybe David Quisenberry, some of these dudes coming back. Then I also wonder about landing one or two of the big names. And then I just wouldn't be shocked if we had to wait a little bit on Cousins.
Yeah, it is fascinating. I think certainly the Kirk Cousins thing. You could debate who whether like Cousins versus Hunter, who you bring back. But without Cousins, that leaves a huge gap at quarterback, right?
Yeah, basically irreplaceable right now. there'd be really no one you could get realistically who would be that good. I mean, it's possible a rookie just blows up and it's all good, but those chances are very small.
Yeah.
Very small, which is fine. Like, if the long-term vision takes precedence and you think that overall this is better for the organization, maybe not strictly in 2024 in terms of quarterback play, but overall, then okay, so be it. That's the decision you've made. But in terms of just 2024, it's Cousins is almost guaranteed to give you your best shot. Like, has to be Cousins, right? He's actually a very good quarterback. So we'll just see. I know there's been a lot of momentum building for this whole Cousins leaving thing. I'm still not convinced that's a take that could look bad in about 2 hours' time. I still think he'll be back, though, frankly. We'll just see it how much, though. But I've been wrong before, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did you see that he was going through his VHS set and sorting that through?
No
People
idea.
say, who looks through their VHSs unless they're moving?
I have no idea. I mean, goodness, he's
No.
going to, yeah,
No,
he's going to do his own thing.
I think, yeah, everyone's got their different opinions, but we've seen what the Vikings look like without Kirk Cousins. We got a little bit of a taste test and mixed results is maybe a kind way of looking at it. Good. Well, so again, we got today. News is going to come out within the next 48 hours, and then now you like by Wednesday you can put pen to paper. So this week, again, I know it's going to be full. It's going to be busy. There's going to be lots to figure out. Anything beyond maybe just the top end pieces that you're watching for? Anything maybe just kind of underlying or maybe more of kind of a not necessarily sneaky, but I think certainly we look at the big pieces. Anything else maybe that you're like, yeah, you know what, this is maybe it's going under the radar, but something that to be mindful of.
No, that's good. It's an interesting question. One thing I'll say, so last year, the Vikings had 43 sacks as a team. Add them all together, 43 times they sacked the quarterback. Hunter, free agent, 16.5 sacks. Wonnum, 8. Bullard, 2. Davenport, 2. Hicks, 1. Dye, 1. So if you just look at the free agents to be, you get more than 30 sacks, 30 and a half sacks out of your 43 heading towards free agency. That's something to monitor, right? Not just for Hunter. Obviously, Hunter is the major name there, but kind of down the line. I'm also keeping an eye on the extension candidates. I think Byron Murphy is going to be extended. I also think they'll extend Harrison Phillips. But again, we'll see. That's a way of saving money while, saving cap space rather in the immediate while also keeping a good player, in town for several more years. And then obviously Harrison Smith. Right, like what happens with Harrison Smith? I think basically everybody expects some sort of contract adjustment, whether it be a cut or a pay cut or something's gonna happen there. And so I'm just kind of curious to see the fact that it's gone this far suggests that it wasn't at all like last year with say with Eric Kendricks, where they just cut him, saved the money, and moved on. Obviously they're behind closed doors, kind of trying to find some sort of resolution. Because if it was strictly about moving on from a veteran and saving money, it would have happened almost certainly by now. So they're probably working on some sort of resolution. And so I'll be curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah. Good. Well, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is certainly earning his paycheck these weeks. Hey, like it's fascinating. There's so many moving pieces
Yeah, man.
in this process. Like this has got to be one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging time for a GM to just be continually evaluating because you got your guys, you got other guys, but you're also competing with other teams for those guys.
Exactly.
Things are going to move fast. Any last words before we wrap up here? I think you covered things well. Yeah,
Oh, I hope so.
well
I
enough.
mean, we'll see. We'll see. It's right now about 35 million in cap space. I think OTC is still saying a little more than 37, but I don't think they've included the Johnny Munt number because I don't know if we've gotten the 100% details on that. I know it's supposed to be 2.5 million per Gesling. But maybe there's some void year shenanigans or what, or maybe it's just there's like kind of incentives or something like that. So probably around 35 or so million in cap space as of right now. That number is going to be shifting up and down basically constantly over these coming days kind of thing. So Just kind of stay tuned. Pop into Purple PTSD, pop into Vikings territory, check out the Vikings free agency board on purpleptsd.com, top 25 free agents. The point is not to say they're going to sign all 25. You know, if they signed two or three, then that was, the board basically did its job, just identifying some free agent fits and possibilities and kind of looking at what that, you know, could plausibly mean for Minnesota. So check out that stuff as well.
Cool. And maybe to close us off, I know you had talked about the Minnesota Madness a couple of weeks ago. We actually didn't talk about it before. You want to provide just an update on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, last round, man, and the voting ends tomorrow. So it's actually Josh Vitalis, his interception in week 8, going up against Justin Jefferson, the week 16 catch where he kind of repeated that Buffalo Bills catch, right? Where the two defenders goes up and gets it. You know, two remarkable plays, two fantastic players, Metellus versus Jefferson. It's kind of fun in a sense to see like a DB going against a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of got these like, almost like this matchup game. So anyhow, go on to either VT or PTSD and go ahead and vote to see which play you think is better. And then as a company, we'll make a donation to the Vikings Foundation for $1,600. And so by all means, if you're just kind of refreshing Twitter or wherever you go for news, kind of waiting for news, go pop over to the sites and vote in Minnesota Madness round 4. It's the final round. Appreciate that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Not surprised to see the Justin Jefferson catch there.
I was surprised to see Metellus though. Did you think that Metellus pick would go all the way?
I just felt the Jefferson, you knew that was going to be in the finals. Yeah. And it was just I was curious about who was going to be up against it. And not to say
I thought it was going to be Jordan Addison. I thought it was going to be the Jordan Addison Tre'Various Ward ripping the ball away. That would have been my pick for the best play of the season, right?
Yeah.
But the people have spoken.
Well, it's that's how voting works.
There you go.
And you can tell that Kyle hasn't rigged the results.
I'd have picked Addison. Yeah,
good. Well, like Kyle said, be sure there'll be lots and lots material coming out. PurplePTSD.com, VikingsTerritory.com. Go check it out. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll certainly, hopefully, have some lots to update on next time. So be sure to check back next Monday. But thanks everyone for listening. Have a great week. Enjoy, and we'll be back next Monday. Bye.